All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Beauty and the Beast Physical Therapy and Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Dr. Ross Childs.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everyone. It's a little gloomy day outside, so usually when it's either raining or it's a little gray outside, usually I end up swearing more, but hopefully I'll keep it to a minimum. I hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone enjoyed the podcast last week. Got some good feedback about it. So Adam and I are going to talk about what we call the ugly truth about training. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Adam, how was your Labor Day?
Pretty good. Nice and relaxed. Did we do anything? I'm guessing that if I am having trouble remembering, we didn't really do that much. But it was a good, we've done a lot over the summer. So this was a nice, laid back, have the day off, sleep in, get some stuff done around the house, that kind of thing. It was rainy and stuff anyway, so it's not like we could go to the beach or...
Oh, perfect day to just relax and do nothing. Right. Yeah, I didn't feel like I was missing anything outside, so yep. I was just watching a marathon of Yellowstone. So that's a...
I have not started watching. Everybody says to watch it. I haven't started watching it yet.
Oh, man. But, maybe don't, because once you start, you're not going to want to stop.
Well, that's fair.
It's really intense, but man, it's so good. There are a couple characters on there that just make you feel like you want to go fight everyone in the world. But all right, so today we really want to talk about the ugly truths of training. We've talked about training types. We've talked about just a multitude of topics now on here, our 35th episode. And really what we're going to talk about today is... Really, the unspoken, because we talk about it, but the honest realities that come with training. And Adam and I came up with this idea a couple weeks ago, and really it just comes down to you have to do it, and you have to be consistent with it. And then once you're there, you have to push yourself. So if you guys take nothing else from this, consistency and intensity are by far... The two biggest factors, as far as I'm concerned, that you need to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. And really, if someone is not able to go through that consistency or intensity, and this is outside of life complications.
Yeah.
So just the average person that makes excuses, they're really just lacking consistency. So, and that's the hard part. Or then you have the person that goes to the gym consistently, still not seeing gains. It's usually their intensity. And we also have to look at intensity in different ways. It can also be their determination towards a given goal. It can be physical, can be emotional. It can be the intensity in which someone approaches their nutritional plan. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna dive into different things with the ultimate goal of coming back to you have to be consistent. You have to push yourself. You have to be comfortable at being uncomfortable. And then this becomes a lot easier. So now from a consistency standpoint, Adam, what do you think holds people back the most?
I think what holds people back the most is trying to do too much at once. From what I, from the clients that I normally work with, they're 60, 70 pounds heavier than they were in, let's just say, high school, college, whatever, from the time that they remember feeling like they felt comfortable in their skin, whatever time period that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that they need to do something about the way that they're eating. They know they need to do something about their exercise. And they try to do everything at once. And they just don't have that skill set. And so the consistency... doesn't come because they're trying to do too much at once. I mean, it'd be the same as a kid, a kid's going back to school. Like, you ask a kid who goes back to school, what did you do today? Not really much. Like, the first few days. If you remember back, you went over syllabuses. You maybe talked a little bit. But can you imagine if day one you jumped in and it was a full-scale presentation, quiz at the end of class... You got to be ready. You got to pay attention the entire time. And you did that for all four, let's say high school. You did that for all 4 or 6 year classes for the first week of school. Can you imagine how many kids would just be absolutely beat after so, that.
Yeah. Oh, mentally drained, yep. physically drained, and a lot of them would just check out.
Right. And I mean, where school, they don't really have a choice, right? Or per se, you know what I mean? Like, kids go to school, even if they're burnt out, they're going to go the next day, like that kind of thing. But when you're an adult, you're out of school, and you have the choice to, for example, go to the gym. If you put so much weight on, okay, I have to train for 2 hours, which means I have to leave, and I got to leave a half an hour early. But I also have to have time to shower. Oh, I got to make sure that I have my food ready for when I get back. And you start adding up this list of things, and before you know it, you've added 2.5-3 hours to your day. When you didn't have 3 hours, people can do that for a week, maybe. And then they just...
they give up.
Right. And then that just continues to be that cycle. I'm not going to start until I can do everything. I'm not going to start until I can do anything. And
yeah.
I think that's where most people have the biggest problem with consistency.
I would agree. And I would say, to kind of piggyback off what you were talking about, it's not necessarily the not trying to... well, yes, it's the doing too much, but also they honestly don't know where to begin.
Right.
So then they just throw everything in, you know, it's like, let's throw shit against the wall and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Worst possible thing to do, because you can't be good at all of them all at once. Not all of them are going to change. It's just never going to happen, so don't try. I feel like if a lot of individuals really, I wouldn't necessarily say prioritize, but if they had that one motivating factor or just that one goal, it's a lot easier to then create that consistency, you know? And really, if we think about, you know, we say, oh, we got to, you know, crawl before we can walk and walk before we can run, you know, just go to the gym once.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna suck. And this is an ugly truth.
Right.
You know, it sucks. You know, the first time you go in, think about the first time you ever lifted weights. You probably hurt for 4 or 5 days,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah, and if you were a teenager, you know, like myself, start lifting weights, yeah, you kind of thrived on that. You wanted to hurt so bad after a while that meant a good workout.
Yeah.
You know, we know now that's not necessarily the best way to go about it, but it hurts. You don't know what you're doing. You know, you feel lost.
I was going to say, yeah, you feel lost. You feel awkward.
There's no direction.
Right.
You know, maybe you go online and start reading Men's Health or TNation.com, and it's conflicting information. So you just don't know where to begin, but why in the first place are you looking to become healthy? You know, is it weight loss? Is it to prevent chronic disease? Is it to improve your functional status? So I think that's where people really need to start first. What's your one motivating factor? If it's weight loss, then that's fine. I'm happy. Let that be your one goal right now. Focus on that one goal, and then once you reach that goal, build another goal. But it's hard when it's, well, I want to be healthier. I want to be fit. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I want to lose weight. It's like, way too many things.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you just, you can't give the attention, the determination, the effort needed to accomplish all of those at once.
Right.
So it things have to be prioritized at all times. It's like, all right, right now I'm going to lose weight. With that, maybe I can have some increase in muscle strength. Maybe I can, you know, look leaner. Maybe I can have better muscular endurance. But again, it's all of those are tiered. And then it's, okay, I've met that goal. What's the next step? So, you know, it's the, we've talked about before, and you know, I've said this to people about, I've even said it to students about why you want to be in physical therapy. You got to find your why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the important part of all this? You know, what's driving you to want to do this stuff? You know, if it's just a matter of, I want fat loss, well, why do you want that fat loss?
Right.
What is that going to help you achieve? And again, that's, you know, for a lot of us, we don't necessarily, well, you and I probably do because that's what we have to talk to people about. But, you know, just the average person, they're probably not going that one step farther to really think about it. You know, and I think that can help them organize their thoughts if they just took that one step further. You know, maybe it's an older adult who just wants to be more functional. Great. That we need that motivation, you know, and then more functional. Well, what specifically? Do you want to hike? Do you just want to be able to get out of a chair? So the finding the why, I think, really helps with that consistency. When we look at, I'm sure you had this when you were in college, but the trans-theoretical model of behavior change, I believe we talked about it way back, like episode 1 through 5. It was early on.
Yeah.
When you look at the stages of pre-contemplation, contemplation, preparation, action, maintenance. It's just hard for a lot of us. You know, we think about that pre-contemplation, you know, and it's like, eh, I should get in shape. And then the contemplation stage, well, I could work out. These are the days that I could do it. And then it's the preparation stage where, all right, after work on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, I'm going to go in. Now I'm putting it to action. And then once you develop that habit, then it should be as clear as maintenance. A lot of people really stay in that pre-contemplation stage. Maybe they get to the contemplation stage where it's a, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it. But then they all... I won't say always, a lot of people relapse back to pre-contemplation.
Yeah.
You know, something else becomes the bigger priority in life, which is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that automatically drops down that pre-contemplation or contemplation is no longer important anymore or as important at that given moment. So now it gets put on the back burner. And now 3 months later, oh, maybe I should work out. No, I don't have time. Maybe I should work out. All right, maybe. And then they have to work themselves through that whole chain again.
And I think that's the other biggest factor when it comes to being consistent and hitting those milestones is you have to be proactive. Ugly truth number one. Every single time I hear somebody say like, oh, I'm too busy. Oh, I got stuck at work again. I couldn't make class. I stayed late at work. I couldn't make class. Look, if now isn't the right time for you to do this, then you need to accept that. But if you're sick of being X amount of pounds overweight, if you're sick of your knees and your back hurting, but you're not making it a priority, then you need to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many times, and I've worked with people where it's like, as soon as we start working the process backwards. So like, okay, on Thursday, there's a couple clients I do this with specifically. On Thursday, you're going to tell me what days you're going to train next week. I want to see that in your Google Calendar, and that time is immutable, you do not fill that with something else short of, you know, a medical emergency where you have to, you there's no option, you have to.
Yep.
That doesn't mean that my kid decided they didn't want eggs for breakfast, I have to go and make them waffles. That doesn't mean that I can get to work 20 minutes earlier today, so I'm going to go do that. No, if you're going to make yourself a priority, then you need to be proactive and you need to stick to that. Stop letting your job, your this, your that, come before you being healthy. Because if you feel like you need to lose weight, speaking for somebody from experience, that shit works its way into everything. You feel it when you go to the beach. You feel it when you go to the store. You feel it when you're sitting in the car. You feel it when you put on your clothes.
Yep.
If you are not willing to put that first, or, you know, I mean, obviously not over your kids or whatever, but if you're not willing to put that at least over your fucking work, then you need to accept that, and you need to either accept that you have to do what you can based on your specific restrictions,
mm-hmm.
time-wise, and you just have to be okay with that, or you have to start making it a priority. That means that when your boss asks you to do something at 4:30 and you leave at 5, that's 2 hours worth of work, you have to say, no, I have to leave at 5, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That means that if they ask you to come in during this time, if there's a way around it, you have to find it. Like, that is the biggest, there's no, I hate that. I hate hearing that, because I've talked about this before. I can have somebody that comes in and tells me that they can't do this because they have to work. They had to work late. And then at the same breath say like how sick they are, or like quit because they're not seeing progress.
Yeah.
Like no. You need to make that, you need to be proactive. Make that commitment. Maybe your commitment is only training 3 days a week. Okay, we got to put that in, and you have to Hit those 3 days.
Yep.
And if you're not going to hit those 3 days, then don't get pissed because you're not making progress. Because you have to accept one or the other. You can't have both.
No, and you know, making yourself a priority really comes down to you being okay with the selfish nature of self. I don't even know the word that I'm looking for, but I think you and I can both agree that unless this stuff is your hobby,
mm-hmm.
health, fitness, like it is for you and I, it's very easy for us to fit it in. That for just the average person that wants to make that change, you have to be selfish. And that it's not wrong. It's just that we're taught in society that, you know, you need to be selfless. You know, it's like, no, I need to be selfish to then prioritize myself. Now, it doesn't mean you're necessarily pushing things aside, but it's the non-important stuff should get pushed aside to begin with so that you can focus on your health so that you can better serve those around you, whether it's your coworkers or your kids or your partner or whatever it may be. So if it's a matter of, no, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to go work out, then that's what we should be doing.
So that is for those of you who, I don't know if I've specifically talked about it, but this is one of the reasons that I decided to leave the gym that I was work here at Get Fit and move to my own thing online. I was getting so burnt out and so there was so much to do that I could not seem to find a way to put myself first. So one of the reasons that I left is because I realized I didn't want to live that way. Now, different environment from, you know, other possible jobs you can make and you can take and stuff like that. But at the same time, in today's world, with more things going 100% remote, that are more efficient, like all this other sort of stuff, not saying leave your job, but I'm saying that I had to make a conscious decision. That was part of my decision, is I'm not sleeping. Like, I can't sleep. I go home at 8 o'clock. I have to be up at 3 a.m. the next morning, multiple times a week. You know, I have to coach this many hours. I have to do my own business stuff. Somehow I have to find time in there to do my own personal stuff as well. Just my, like, normal errands, cooking, all that crap. And I was only training, you know, on average, 2 times a week, maybe.
Awful. Oh, that's the worst.
And it was, and when I would be training, often I was cutting it short. I was getting distracted by this, by that. My, you know, so like, but now I'm able to go 4 or 5 times a week because I made a decision that, among other reasons, I needed some stability in my own life, my own fitness, my own health, in order to be able to help other people, because it was taking away from what I could offer others.
Emotional stability.
It's weird, right?
Well, what's remarkable about that, you know, again, and you're always serving others, you know, and you put yourself last, and that's just the nature. We're in a customer service business, right. And that's the unfortunate aspect of it. I mean, you know, my reasons for leaving, you know, all my last job to start my own was very similar. I need to think more about me, and I need to think about spending more time with RJ. You know, it never made sense to me that I'm giving all this time and effort to someone else,
mm-hmm.
who's not a family member, who doesn't appreciate my work, you know, life balance, and then RJ gets the worst of me. Like, it just doesn't make sense, and I'm too tired to play with him,
mm-hmm.
and that just never worked out. But again, you know, it's we recalibrated, reprioritized, and you know, then it you finally see it's all right. I need to put myself first. You know, it's about me and my team at home first. Everything else is going to come second. It shouldn't be the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, especially with working out, we just talked about the emotional stability of it. It's like I can work out minimum 3 times a week, but sometimes I'll work 5-6 days a week, work out. And that's to keep me emotionally sane. I enjoy working out for the physicality of it and the benefits of it. But for me, a lot of it's the emotional stuff, because the second I go under 3 times a week, you know, it's not physically I'm failing, it's emotionally I'm failing. You know, and that's, you know, I'm, with the exception of bodybuilders who are going for a very, very specific task,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe Olympic weightlifters who have a very specific weight they have to get to every 4 years. You know, a lot of us are working out all the time to just stay sane and not fucking explode. You know, and that's just the honest reality of it. So, you know, I'm more irritable when I don't work out.
Yep.
But again, being consistent, finding your priority or reprioritizing, finding your why, that has to be established first. Once you can establish that, consistency will come. You know, and low motivation days. The only time I tell someone, you know, if you're scheduled to work out, especially in the beginning when someone's trying to develop that habit, some of my best gym days were my lowest motivation days. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to go. And once I went, I kind of lowered my expectation. Ended up being a great workout. The only time in the beginning where I say don't go is if you weren't scheduled to go or if you're sick. Stay home and rest. That's fine. Once you develop the habit of going and it's a part of you, then you can start to skip those days. But if you get in the habit of skipping in the beginning, then skipping becomes the habit.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people will do. Well, I'll just go tomorrow. Well, then something shows up. I'll just go the next night. Oh, it's Friday. I'm not going to go to the gym on a Friday. I'll just go tomorrow. Well, why am I going to work out on the weekends? I'll just start back on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with nutrition. You know, oh, I ate like shit Friday night, so I'm just going to eat like shit Saturday and Sunday. I'll get back to it on Monday. Guess what? Monday comes. They don't get back on track.
No.
So, again, it's they're not prioritizing the important aspect of it. You know, or even if we look at nutrition, you know, people, you know, you put a cake or steak tips in front of most people are going to go to the cake.
Mm.
You know, they want that sugary fix. They have that instant gratification in their mind. Ooh, this tastes good. You know, and really the consistency there is the ability to say, I know that cake tastes phenomenal, but I know it's not going to help me reach those goals. You know, and then down the road, once you've built that habit, you have a very good strategy of eating the foods that you know work best for your body. It's okay to eat that cake, but don't feel bad about it.
Right.
You know, it's the eating the cake and then feeling like shit and then feeling like shit about yourself. That's what creates that lack of consistency because you fall off too much.
Yep, and then you eat a second cake because fuck it, I already ate the first cake, so I might as well just eat cake until I'm puking.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yep.
So really, it's being able to emotionally control the urges. You constantly have to fight with yourself. And we talked about this before on podcasts, just because we were bigger at one time. Those psychological things never go away.
Nope.
However, you know, once we get through kind of that phase where it's a habit for us now, it's a lot easier for me to go out and eat ice cream now compared to 15 years ago where mm-hmm. I was afraid to eat it because, like, if I have one drop of ice cream, I'm going to lose all progress. So I wouldn't. Like, I would go 6 months straight without eating anything, quote-unquote, bad.
Yeah.
Really strict. And then I realized I didn't have to be. So now it's like, all right, if I have pizza once every 3 months, it's not the worst thing in the world. I'll eat 8 slices, make myself sick, and don't eat it again for 3 months. But it's also understanding, okay, I'm going to get back up the next day. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get back on my normal eating style because I'm already consistent with it. I built that habit. I know what it feels like. Again, my priorities, I have to keep a certain fitness level so that I can feel good, I can think good, I can, you know, be the best PT I can be to be a good friend, a father, a son, or whatever else my role is at that time, at that moment. I have to be the best that I can be. And I can't do that unless I have a healthy and fit lifestyle that can help me accomplish those things. So now, once someone has committed to the intensity, I mean the committed and they are consistent, the next step I feel is, again, the intensity that needs to be put forth. And I'm sure we'll get off track again. We'll try to keep this as far as working out is concerned. But if someone is only going to the gym to run through the motions, they're never going to make the progress that they want. You know, And I'm a fan of non-aerobic exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So people just going and walking. You know, just go walk and that's fine. Or non-exercise aerobic training. What I don't like to see is when someone gets on the treadmill at the Y or mm-hmm. Planet Fitness and they're sitting there reading a book. How, I'm sure they're not walking very fast if they're able to do that, or if they're walking fast, they're not paying attention to anything that they're reading. And I'm not advising people, if that's an activity that you do, I'm not advising you to give it up, because if you enjoy it, that's fine. However, I guarantee you are gonna increase your intensity more effectively if you put down the electronics and say, I'm going to walk faster. I may even run. I'm gonna push myself a little bit harder on the elliptical. I'm going to push myself a little bit harder when I'm lifting weights. There's a certain amount of intensity that we have to push ourselves with, and we always have to strive to be a little bit better than the last time we went to the gym. And we've talked about ways that we can challenge ourselves, you know, but maybe it's as simple as, okay, last week I went 3, I'm going to push myself to go a 4th time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's increasing the intensity of the volume in terms of how many times you're making yourself available to go to the gym. It doesn't just have to be sets, reps, weight, rest periods, all the things we talked about last week. You know, again, it could also be, okay, this week I'm going on vacation. I'm going to find gyms that I can work out at. So there's another type of intensity too, but there's also that consistency that's already been built. Okay, I know I want to go to the gym. Now, let me continue that by finding a gym that I can go to while I'm on vacation, or let me bring some equipment that I can do, or don't work out at all and be okay with it. That's also another important part, you know, because if you sit there and think, well, I could be working out, I'm losing everything from working out. Do you feel like you lose strength in if you don't work out for 5 days? Let me reframe that. If I don't work out for a few days, I feel weaker. But do you think you're weaker because you actually lost cross-sectional area of muscle?
No.
Feel like it's more emotional?
It's emotional, and it's kind of like knocking off the rust.
Yeah.
It's just neurological. It's like if you bench every week and you hit 225 pounds for 10 reps every week, and then you go away for a week and you come back and you can only get 8. You didn't lose 6 weeks worth of strength training. You just didn't do it last week, and the muscles got to kind of wake up a little bit, for lack of a better way to put it. You know what I mean? Or, shit, you may even go up.
Exactly.
You know, it depends on what state of mind you're in, but you may even go up because you rested.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're, you know, so...
Yeah, there's no cut and dry rules to all this. I mean, you got to find what works best for you, and that's a perfect example of it. You know, thinking about taking time off and you come back stronger.
Yeah.
You know, a newbie may not necessarily do that, but, you know, for someone who's got more skin in the game, they've been doing it for a while, time off is not a bad thing.
Right.
Especially the older you get, it allows the joints to heal a little bit more. It decreases stress on the body. Far too many benefits of rest to actively avoid it.
Right.
And then if you have someone who is older and they keep working out all the time, it's probably the more of the emotional component that they use exercise for.
Yeah.
You know, so in that case, it's like, especially if someone has a more like addictive personality, maybe they went from a substance abuse and then chose
exercise. Yeah.
It's like you just took that addictive personality and just went from the substance to now exercise.
Right.
Exercise is your drug that you're now addicted to. That also is not healthy. You know, you need to be careful. So I have seen that as well.
And I think the other way to build consistency and then build intensity is just to start doing things that, it sounds super simple, but things you don't like to do. Like if you're just starting out, and let's just say you're going to the gym, like, you know, you've done it for, okay, let me rephrase this. Let's say that you know relatively what you're doing, right? But maybe you've lost track of your training or whatever. Can you tell I'm talking about me yet? And I'm like trying so hard not to say me, but this is what worked for me. Is I went from, I know what I'm doing and I know what I need, But so for about the last month, I've been doing just lifting. You know, just kind of getting back to stuff I did in high school and college, stuff that I like really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I enjoy lifting. I don't enjoy conditioning. I don't enjoy typical metabolic HIIT, any of that shit. The reason that but it's important. It's important, and I notice it like when I'm playing, I play indoor soccer and stuff like that, and I notice that I don't have the speed that I did. I don't have the cardiovascular endurance. I'm not recovering as quickly because I don't do as much of the conditioning. So I spent a month pretty much just lifting. You know, it was not powerlifting where it was like 3 reps and then I'd rest for 4 minutes. It was more intense than that, but it was lifting. It wasn't conditioning. Get the consistency in, something I like to do. Now it's a little bit of lifting, a little bit of conditioning, and then I'll probably go back to mostly lifting. And just like, I know that I need to be doing conditioning, but if I were to have week one said, okay, I'm getting that conditioning in today, and for the next month, I probably wouldn't have been as successful as I have been and will be.
No.
Now that I did that for a month, built the consistency in, and now getting in some of the stuff that I need. And for some people, that may be not completely changing the training. Maybe you hate squats and you only do deadlifts. So, okay, maybe you work in squats a couple days a week, and then after doing that for a little bit, maybe now it's a, you know, it's a 1-to-1. You're doing as much squats as you are deadlifting, or, you know, whatever, insert exercise X that you like and exercise Y that you don't like.
Yeah.
And that will increase your intensity as well, because the less you've done an exercise, the more challenging that exercise is going to be.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is you talk about you know, your hatred, or not hatred, you dislike any type of that metabolic conditioning, you enjoy lifting. Now, you know, again, this goes back to the concept of body types, you know, and I would consider you more of a mesomorph, where you put on, you have a lot of large amount of muscle mass. So if anyone hasn't seen Adam, he's got a lot of muscle mass on him. He's what we would consider a mesomorph. Typically, mesomorphs lean towards weightlifting, you know, or just things that they use their muscles for. So if you only geared yourself towards that, you would not be able to play soccer.
Right.
Now, you also enjoy soccer because it's also a fast twitch muscle fiber sport with sprinting in it.
Right.
So then it's also like, all right, if I also don't do this stuff, I'm not going to be able to run up and down the field. So it's like you need to lift weights because you have to be stronger because your body type says that. But then your actual muscle fiber type also says, well, I need to be explosive.
Right.
I can get that with weightlifting, but I also have to just practice being fast, which some of that does come with metabolic conditioning. You know, and then if you're out there for 90 minutes, you know, then it's like, all right, now I need to be able to take that explosiveness plus my muscle mass, and I need to be able to use it functionally for the entirety of the game.
Right.
So now that's three different aspects that you have to try to implement to make yourself a better soccer player, because that's your priority. You want to be able to play that. So I'm lucky I brought that back around to the priority, because I was just thinking about how your body type and how you like training and hate metabolic conditioning. And it's like, to me, it makes sense.
Right.
You know? Like, this is nothing new here, but everyone listening, I just wanted to kind of take everyone through that thought process of what I just went through. Now, when people start lifting or start working out, do you typically suggest they start with weightlifting? Do you suggest they go towards cardio and conditioning? Where do you point people?
Lifting, 100%.
Why?
10 times out of 9. Because A, their body is going to be able to handle the lifting better. So that's going to lean more towards consistency. B, they need to have strong muscles, joints, all that connective tissue in order to do the HIIT training, cardio, running. I mean, maybe not if you're on a bike, but if you're planning to go run, jump, do some sort of recreational activity, do actual high-intensity interval training, you need to have the strong tissue in order to be able to do that effectively without getting hurt.
Mm. Now, with this, with high intensity interval training, why do you think most people do high intensity interval training, and then what population do you think high intensity interval training would benefit the most? So there's two questions in there. So why do you think people use it, just your average person, and who would actually benefit from it?
Why do people use it? I think more often than not, people use it as a form of weight loss, and B, form of feeling like they got the living shit kicked out of them.
Correct.
And who would it be good for? Ironically, probably the exact opposite of the people that do it. The people that gravitate towards high-intensity interval training are people that are trying to lose as much weight as fast as humanly possible, and they think that the way to do that is to do, in quotes, cardio, high intensity. I should not be able to walk the next morning when I woke up. That's the only way that I'm going to lose weight. When, ironically, the people that probably should be doing high intensity interval training are the people on the other end of the scale that are using it as a mode towards something they're training for.
Correct.
If your main reason for doing cardiovascular or high intensity interval training is fat loss, I'll say weight loss, then I'd say there's a 99.9% chance it's not going to work.
Weight loss, it'll work.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good fat loss tool.
Okay, yeah. So maybe that's better. So maybe I should have said it the other way.
I mean, go run and do high-intensity interval training. Great way to burn calories.
Yes.
But where are the calories coming from?
Everywhere,
exactly. Yeah. So it's not fat. So you're getting it from your carb stores, from glycogen stores, from the blood sugar that's in there, from potentially fats, but then your body tends to hold on to that, then starts to break down proteins and amino acids. And then next thing you know, our muscles aren't getting the nutrients that they need. So then what happens? Your muscles get a little bit smaller. And then what do we tend to see? Oh, what do you know? I'm now putting some weight back on. People don't understand that muscle's the most efficient fat burner that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The more muscle we have, the stronger we are. At rest, we're going to burn more fat. And that's what the body below 70% maximal heart rate, our body prefers fatty acids as our primary energy source. Above 70 and closer to 80, then we want to switch closer to more to glucose or carbohydrates. You know, again, once we get up there, that's when people fight. No, we need, you know, carbs for this. No, we can do keto. I don't give a shit.
Yeah,
that's not the point of this conversation right now. But the more muscle you have, your body is burning fat very efficiently. Just you and I sitting here talking right now, our body's preferring to burn body fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go out to the gym and we sprint. Now all of a sudden we're above that 80%. Now the body's like, shit, give me sugar. How am I going to get this back to my cells as quickly as possible? So completely different. But I can't stress enough how important strength training is, you know, and that structurally it makes us better, you know, emotionally it makes us better. You know, they've even shown that people tend to live longer, you know, and they can typically gauge that by the amount of muscle mass someone has and their amount of their grip strength, assuming it's not, you know, an accident that killed someone. I'm surprised when people say they don't lift or they're not very active. Like farmers, for example, they're always lifting.
Mm-hmm.
They may not go to the gym, so that's fine. As long as you're physically active, you know, that's important. And, you know, I've met plenty of farmers in their 70s that are still out there 10, 12 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they shake my hand. It feels like it's going to break.
Right.
You know, they just have just grips like a freaking grizzly bear. And they're probably going to be just fine compared to the person who sat at an office chair all their life and then they got to retirement, didn't really want to do anything. Maybe they traveled the world for a little bit, their muscles get weaker and weaker, and then they're able to do less and less, and then I just typically find that speeds up the aging process.
Yep.
You get to a certain point where it's like, yeah, I'm aging at 5%, and then 10%, and then 20%, and 40%. It's a very steep drop off for those individuals, where we can have a more robust lifestyle and the ultimate goal with lifting and metabolic conditioning, because we do need that aspect of the different energy systems. You know, the goal is to maximize our function, you know, or performance, if we want to call it that, because life, that's really all it is functional performance. And then the goal is to have a gradual decline over the years, so that we come in for a very soft landing when mm-hmm. when we choose to leave the earth. So for a lot of us, and us, I'm just saying humans in general, you know, you get to a certain point, you have that steep drop off, and then you have 10 to 15 years of even worsening health, and then unfortunately there's no quality of life. You know, I want quality of life right till the very end. But it all starts with the consistency now, seeing the effects of it, working with the right intensity, and then I'm going to carry it into my 40s and 50s, and then what I do in my 40s and 50s will determine what I do in my 60s and 70s, and so on and so forth.
And I think that is the next... Here's... I don't know if you want to call it an ugly truth, but here's the deal. High-intensity interval training, cardio... Yes, you will most likely, if you're able to be consistent with it, you'll probably lose weight quicker. You will. If your only goal is to lose 30 pounds in a month and a half, and you don't care about what happens after that, then high-intensity interval training is going to get you there. If you care about losing 30 pounds over the course of 6 months and never putting that 30 pounds back on, then start lifting. And sprinkle in some of that other stuff here and there.
Yes, because sprinkled in, but shouldn't be the priority.
No, right. There is no doubt in my mind that if you want to lose weight fast, and that's all you care about, nothing else that we've talked about, go do some HIIT and some cardio. Yeah. But just know that you're going to be riding that high and low until you stop doing that.
Yeah.
Until you accept that it's a longer game than just, I'm doing this for a month and a half, and then I get to go hog fucking wild again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even with that lifting, you know, over the course of 6 months, dropping them 30 pounds, not only is it you have to lift, but it's also recognizing, you know, you need to get your nutrition on point too.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be outlifting a bad diet.
No.
Maybe you can do that in your teenage and early 20s, but it catches up with you very quickly.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put in the time to actually commit yourself to a weightlifting program, you're going to maximize the benefits from that, from eating healthier. And again, we're not going to try to define here today what's healthy. Everyone has their own philosophy of that. But as long as you're limiting, you know, excess sugar, processed foods, refined foods, vegetable oils, things along those lines, then chances are you're going to be fine. I think we get too caught in the weeds, especially when people are like, don't eat fruit. It's got too much sugar in it.
Fuck off.
I like fruit. I'm not doing it. It's just the way that it is. I mean, so again, you'll find what works for you. As Adam and I have said in the past, nutrition's too individualized to be able to promote one thing. I know what works best for me, and that's just from years of trial and error. But I had the consistency with the nutrition to be able to say, yes, this is working. No, this is not working. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to add this part in. But it was the intensity and the consistency that I tackled my nutrition with to allow me to get to the point now where it's like, all right, if I need to lose 5 pounds, I know very easily how to go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I want to put on 5 pounds, I know very easily how I need to go about doing that. But it's taken really the last 15 years to figure that out. So, you know, and then thinking about, I've been weightlifting in some form since I was 14. That's when my mother bought me my first weight bench. So for 24 years now, I've been working out in some capacity. And to think that some people never work out, that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, to think that I've been working out longer than some of my students have been alive, that's that's mind-blowing, now that I think about it. But, you know, so again, you know, a healthy lifestyle or being fit, again, it's more than just lifting weights as well. But weights are for me, I usually will tell people either start with the nutrition first or keep the nutrition where it is and start the weights. Let one get pseudo perfected, whatever mm-hmm. word you choose to use, or get comfortable with one, then add on the other. But again, it goes back to pick one goal and stick with it. You know, I think for a lot of people too, it's like, I'm going to change my nutrition, I'm going to work out. Recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Because they've already focused on, you know, well, do I have food before the workout, during the workout, after the workout? Do I have energy drink? Should I be doing cardio first? Should I be doing weights first? Way too much.
Or their version of getting their nutrition on track is just slashing the shit out of everything they're eating and not eating anything.
That's undernourishment is usually the biggest mistake I find, especially. Yeah. And I wouldn't even say with newbies, because I still know a lot of people that are just stuck in that trend.
Yep.
You know, well, I need to work out more. And let me guess, you need to cut back on your calorie intake.
Yeah, and let me guess, you also need to cut back on your carbs, right?
Yeah, it's like, let me guess, you're probably cold all the time.
Yeah.
You're probably noticing, oh, your hair is thinning and or falling out because you've now fucked up your hormones.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And I'm gonna stand here and I'm going to tell you it's because you're not eating enough and you're going to keep asking me every week, can I cut back yet? Can I cut back yet? Can I cut back yet? I think I'm eating too much. I think I'm eating... Yeah, no.
Well, the thing is...
If you're eating 1,200 calories, you're not eating too much, I promise you.
Yeah, and when you look at, like, human evolution, we didn't have, you know... We didn't worry about the amount of calories we ate.
Right.
You know, all we know is that during the wintertime, you know, we better have had some fat stores on us so that our body could then use the fat stores when we had times of scarcity that we didn't have as much food around. And I'm talking long before, you know, this is ancestors, you know,
right,
paleo type stuff. So for me, I'm not always buying into, oh, you know, you need to cut calories, you need to add calories, you need to this, you need to that. Everyone has their own set point, but you have to be willing to try to find it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part, whether it's 2,000 or 1,000 or 3,000, you know, some people I know do much better consuming 3,000 calories. It like stokes the fire. Metabolism looks great. You know, they're burning fat stores. They look better eating more food. And mm-hmm. then I do know some people, you know, they say my sweet spot's 1,800 calories. That's where my body does the best. Well, as long as you're offsetting your basal metabolic rate or daily expenditure, then I think you're okay. But again, you have to be willing to try and experiment, because there's no cookie cutter approach to all this. You know, again, you and I could take in the same amount of calories, but you may need more carbs than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my body may justify eating more fats than yours does. So, you know, we just can't throw down and say, well, listen, you both need a 40-30-30 ratio.
Right.
But again, if I wasn't willing to put in the intensity and the consistency towards figuring that out, then I'm just going to be stuck with that 40-30-30, or like most sports nutritionists recommend, you know, 60% carbs. And next thing I know, I'm probably not offsetting what I'm putting into my body. So I will gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to be willing to take that chance.
And that chance has to last more than a week.
Well, and
that's... See, that's the other thing too, is we're saying this. If you're somebody that's been chronically under eating, and when I say chronically, I'm talking about for months, whether that be like a, you know, a binge and slash, you know, you eat 1,200 calories a day and then on the weekend you go off the goddamn rails and you eat 3,500, that still counts as under eating because your body is still stuck in that same cycle of, I hate using like starvation in quotes because now it's like, starvation mode versus, but for the most understanding way to put it, you were telling your body, this is all you're getting, even though you're telling me you need me more. You need more. Your body adjusts. You go off the rails for 2 or 3 days, and you gain a bunch back. Rinse and repeat. Guess what? That shit ain't changing in a week. You're probably going to gain weight that first week that you have, that you're eating a little bit more, because your body has been saying for the past 3 months, okay, we're going to be in starvation mode or scarcity mode for the next week. And then rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. That doesn't change in a week. You don't eat 2,500 calories on Monday and your body's like, okay, we're back to normal now. Good. Well, no, that's not how it works.
It's like the person that has like certain food sensitivities. They start to bloat up when they eat something. And yeah. Then all of a sudden they add like a Metamucil to their diet. Like, and one day later they're like, this fucking sucks. It's not working.
Right.
It's like, you're probably going to have to get it like 6 months.
Right.
If not longer.
Right. No shit.
So
yeah.
24 hours to 6 months. You were almost there.
Yeah.
And I can see why you're upset. However, let's give it a little bit longer.
Right.
You know, and a lot of these, a lot of things that we deal with, whether it's habits or you know, our bad habits have been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
So the hardest thing is to change is that because of the uncertainty. You know, it's very hard to, what is it, sell certainty in an uncertain world?
Yeah.
So, you know, then it's like, all right, well, I have to take the risk to add in that healthy lifestyle. I have to take the risk to eat the right foods. And I have to believe that there's going to be something better for me waiting at the end of this goal, trip, experience, journey, whatever you want to call it. And that's scary. That's hard, you know, because then people are afraid of failure. But as we've talked about before, failure is not the bad part. It's the never trying.
Right.
Because now you get the person that's unhealthy in their 20s that doesn't want to try. Well, they stay unhealthy in their 30s. And then guess what happens? Well, then they're going to stay unhealthy in their 40s. And then they are going to have kids, maybe. And then they've shown that typically if you have an unhealthy set of parents, they're generally going to have kids that follow the same suit. So they're going to now be unhealthy. They're going to grow up unhealthy. They're going to have kids. And then they just keep passing along that bad habitual gene because the next generation doesn't know any better until you get that one outlier who's willing to take that risk and saying, everyone in the family has cardiac disease. Everyone is overweight. I'm not going to be that person. This is my plan. I'm going to work out. I'm going to become healthy. I'm going to maintain this lifestyle because eventually I'm going to have kids and I'm going to pass along that healthy habit to them so that I can live longer and I can see their grandkids and then they can see their grandkids. And then you're creating, I don't even know how I would put this, you know, because what was it? Health is wealth. So you're creating basically wealth, but in terms of fitness and health, to live longer, have increased longevity, or at least that's how I look at it. So I could be completely fucking wrong.
And here I'll say this in response to the family thing, and I always hesitate to say stuff like this because I know that it can set people off. But while we're talking, since we're talking ugly truths and that kind of thing, let me ask you, Ross. How often you have a son, how often does he listen to what you say?
Oh, it depends on the day.
Okay, let me flip
the coin.
Compared to doing what you do.
So he mimics me all the time based off of my actions, not my words.
Right. So think about it this way. If you have kids, do you want their lives to be completely controlled by their job? Do you want them to be happy? Do you want them to be healthy? Do you want them to have a healthy relationship with food, exercise, just their general emotional well-being? Guess what? You want that? Then you got to fucking do it for yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, and I know, and whenever you start talking about parents and kids, it can be, but the truth is that one of the main reasons that I'm trying to get my shit together is that someday I plan on having a kid, and when I do not want to repeat the same insecurities, issues, food relationship problems that I have and pass that on to the next generation, because that shit sucks.
Sure. Let me ask you this, and I think about this quite often. Do you remember the first time someone called you fat to your face?
No, but I don't remember the exact first time, but I remember times.
Yeah, or people just talking about you being bigger, or, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, I I can remember it like it was yesterday. Yep. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's, I don't want that for anyone.
Nope.
You know, let alone for RJ. God, you know, someone comes home and says, oh, Dad, someone called me fat. He's not. But if he came home, I'd be like, give me their address.
Right.
Because I'm going to go burn the fucking house down. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. But that's what I would think.
No, right. But if you, but if you told RJ, okay, well, let's just, I mean, you wouldn't say this, but if you were the opposite of what you are now, if you, like, you didn't go work out, you didn't put your health first at all, you didn't, you know, do this, that, or the thing, you sat around doing nothing all day, and that's all that he saw, do you think it's going to matter if you tell RJ, I mean, like, realistically, you need to go exercise? No. It doesn't fucking matter. If you're
it's not going to register. They're just words.
Right. So if you need any other, if you're somebody with a kid, think about it that way. Do you want your child to struggle with the issues that you have pertaining to your health, your self-confidence, your relationship with food, your relationship with diet and exercise? If you don't, then you have to start fucking putting it first.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. People can get as pissed as they want at me saying that, but it is that simple. Not easy, but it is that simple.
Correct. It's never easier, but it should be easier than people are making it.
Correct, yes.
You know, and that's where a lot of people, again, fail, because they really build up all of this. Oh, God, it's going to be so hard. I can't do this. I can't do that. So all of a sudden, the word can't becomes the priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, when you break down the word can't, it really breaks down into don't want to or don't know how. You know, a lot of people scared of what they don't know, mm-hmm. and they don't know how. There are plenty of people to direct you on how to do it. You know, there's plenty of resources on this thing called the internet.
Yep.
You just have to know where to look. You know, and then you have the other people where it's, you know, don't want to. All right, well, if you don't want to, yeah, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't force him to drink.
Then you have to accept that, though.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
But then don't bitch about being unhealthy.
Exactly.
Don't bitch, oh, I know I shouldn't be eating this. You
that's
know?
Not acceptance, that's denial.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, then it's a matter of, okay, accept the fact that you're probably going to develop a disease. You're probably not going to see your kids graduate. You're probably going to have a piss poor quality of life at some point. You know, and there are probably plenty of people that are saying, well, I know so-and-so, they never worked out a day in their life, and they're still alive.
They're an outlier.
What's the quality of their life
compared to
someone else who also worked out?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, you know, my grandfather on my dad, I'm not, this didn't actually happen, just as an example. My grandfather on my dad's side worked out every day, dropped dead at 65, and my grandfather on my mom's side has smoked 2 packs a day and is 85 years old. That shit happens, but it's not normal. You know what I mean? Like, or you know, that 65 years was a lot more fulfilling than the 85 years.
Yeah.
And there's more to it than just smoking versus running, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love the people that say, you know, especially when it's, and I don't necessarily, you know, beat myself up to the point where I'm constantly getting injured, but you know, I have friends that are in their 40s. They work out. They get injured. And it seems like as soon as they fix one body part, the next one goes. I would much rather have some type of discomfort from trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle than not.
Absolutely.
Because a non-healthy lifestyle, I can't necessarily see cardiac disease. You know, I'm probably going to be at risk for diabetes at some point. I would much rather have a strained shoulder, a bum hip, a sore low back, things that I can work on rehabbing, compared to having to take 3 different cardiac meds, having to take 2 different diabetic meds.
Or how about the day that you're older and somebody falls and they need to get up and you can't pick them up because you've let yourself go, because you were too afraid to go to the gym to lift because your knees or your back might be a little sore the next day.
Or you yourself fell and you can't even get back up, so you have to ask someone else for help.
Yeah.
You know, or eventually you get to a certain point, you got to have someone wipe your own ass because you just can't do it anymore. So, you know, again, I understand with a rotator cuff, you can't necessarily do that.
Well,
But at least I still have the other one.
Right.
But usually once you get to a certain point with your health, doesn't matter, right arm, left.
Right.
You know, you're not doing that. Someone's got to help you with it. So, No, I think we got our point across.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see some feedback for this. Again, just be consistent, attack it with intensity. You know, try to be a little bit better the last time. You know, and focus on one goal at a time. You know, you're not meant to be perfect. So, you know, try something. If it works, great. What did you learn from it? How can you better change it for yourself the next time? You know, it's no different than anything else. We have to apply the principles of life to working out, and you can get there. But you have to enjoy the journey. You know, what is it trying to teach you? And you can learn a lot from it, especially, you know, going through the process, you can just learn a lot about yourself. So, but unless if you're not willing to take that deep look, then it's never going to hit you in the face anyway. So, but we can talk about that some other time. So, you guys know the drill. Actually, anything else, Adam, that you want to touch
upon?
Nope,
I think that's a great place to end.
Yeah, I think so too. You guys know the drill. All the information to reach out is going to be listed below. So feel free to reach out to Adam if you have any questions. If you have any feedback on the podcast, certainly, you know, we're always open for that. You're not going to hurt our feelings. You know, really, when we're in here doing this, it just feels like Adam and I are talking to each other. So, you know, sometimes we throw you guys into the mix, but it's really it's a casual conversation, and, you know, it's fun for us. But we also want to make sure you guys are getting something out of it, and feel free to disagree with us. You know, we're also here for that, too. You know, we by no means have all the answers, and it's an open-door policy. So certainly feel free to tell us how you feel. My information will be down below for FullScript, but also for Ask Ross Anything. I've changed the format of the a little bit, so if you guys are new to Ask Ross Anything, I'm only going to be answering 3 questions and try to stay on about 30 minutes, only because I have to try to get my son to bed at a decent time on Thursday nights. So other than that, I think that's about it. So like I said, if you guys have any questions, reach out. But it's always a pleasure, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Later, guys.
Take care.